to the body slam.
Sounded like Ryan.
I was channeling my inner Brian. See how we mispronounced Ryan's name? With
yeah.
Brian? Yeah.
Fair enough.
Anyways, you're listening to the Potty Slam, a wrestling historical podcast. We talk about locker room and beyond. Ah, get with it. I'm joined with...
me, Josh.
What's up?
And
me, April.
And I'm Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, April. Hi, Josh.
Hi, April.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, Larry.
Now that we got formalities out of the way, how y'all doing this week?
Oh, not terrible.
Oh, it's a review.
Yep. Well, I'm here.
It's like cold and rainy.
It is. It's gross.
Being a prostitute in this time of year is the worst.
Get you an achy bone.
Very true. I mean, I wouldn't know, but.
Yeah, I can tell weather with my knees at this point.
My shoulder.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, Larry.
Yeah.
I hear you have something you want to talk about with
us. I do. We're going to talk about unusual or strange injuries.
Oh.
Some of them are not pretty.
Oh.
Okay, they're not. All, no injury is pretty.
True.
I can think of a couple that are, like, cringeworthy, but...
And we're going to hit on some of those.
Oh, I...
Excellent.
So, I got like, 10 of them here.
Okay.
And we'll just go tragic right off the bat.
Okay.
Darren Drozdoff. Not sure. Yeah, Josh knows what I'm talking about. He, I believe, he debuted as like puke. This guy could puke. Literally, he impressed Vince McMahon by puking on demand.
Wow.
He could just like and just barf.
Ugh.
Right? So, of course, what do you do with that skill? You become a pro wrestler.
Yeah, of course.
And then he went on and was with Hawk and Animal,
mm-hmm,
as one of the new Road Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
But then, unfortunately, he fractured two discs in his neck during a match with D'Lo Brown, which has left him as a paraplegic.
Goo.
Yeah.
He has, of course, gained some movement in his arms and chest since then, which is good. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's a life-changing thing.
Right.
The unusual part about that injury, though, is that it happened during D'Lo Brown's finishing move, a move he had done hundreds and hundreds of times before. And when asked, neither one of them could figure out what exactly went wrong with the move. It just kind of was a freak thing.
Yeah.
It just kind of went wrong. And, there we go. I'm like making love to the microphone. And I turned, like women, I turned it right off. pressed too hard. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. It gets you every time.
Sometimes going too hard is not good.
It's right. Butterfly kisses. Some say that Droz was wearing a baggy t-shirt that maybe D'Lo didn't get a grip, but that's not even really the case. It's just one of those things that happens, and that was in 1999, and this is what kind of blew my mind. That was only 16 months after his debut.
Wow.
Yeah.
So barely over a year in. Larry, stop touching the microphone. Barely a year into his, just over a year into his career, and just ended.
Wow.
Bummer. Kind of one of those things. It's sad. It happens. Wrestling is no joke. People say it's fake. It's scripted.
Right.
It ain't fake.
That's why they say constantly, do not try this at home, because these guys are professionals, and even the professionals have stuff happen, as I'm sure this list will go, and I'm sure I can already tell. I can guess a few that are coming.
Yeah.
And it's guys that have done these moves hundreds of thousands of times.
Yep. Sometimes it's not. Ooh. And in the case, it ended the career of one of the best of all times. The best there was, the best there is, and the best there ever will be. And that was Bret Hart. And, I mean, people will probably blame it on Goldberg's lack of in-ring experience, and that maybe is the case. And, yes, I suppose Goldberg has to take some blame, but at the same time, don't put a guy in the ring who maybe shouldn't be there, or you know, set up a him doing something that maybe he shouldn't be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because Goldberg is very aggressive in the ring. I mean, you watch his spears; those are
a football player. That's exactly what that is.
Yeah, I would not ever take a spear from him or Adam Copeland.
Yeah, or Rhino.
Well, no.
Or Nia Jax.
Yeah.
Ooh. Or Reigns.
Yeah, Reigns is a big dude.
He's a football player, too.
Football player.
But this, again, 1999 Starrcade event. He got one, I guess, just the worst concussion of his career. And unfortunately, Brett, you know, at that time, concussions weren't. It was like, okay, you got your bell rung. Get back in there, kid.
Right, exactly.
He continued to wrestle and would do so days following this match. He was still wrestling with this horrific concussion.
Good Lord.
And he also hit, I did not know this, but he went on and hit his head on the concrete attempting a figure four leg lock on the ring post. You know, when he would hang?
Yeah.
He didn't get it up high enough, so when he threw back, he cracked the back of his head on the cement.
Good Lord.
Which gave him yet another concussion, because when you have a concussion, you're susceptible to more concussions.
Right.
And Lord knows how many he suffered prior to the Goldberg one as well. And unfortunately, that really ended his career after that. And then, of course, I think later on, he went on a bike ride, hit a pothole, hit his head, and suffered a stroke.
He needs to just walk around with a helmet, like, all the time, like, just in case.
Brett, the Hitman helmet. And this one, I remember seeing, I didn't see it live, but I've seen the replays, and I make the face that Josh is making right now, and that's when Joey Mercury got his face exploded with a ladder.
Yep.
Good. Yep.
This is one of the worst looking ones I've seen, besides maybe Sid Vicious's leg breaking.
No, that's that better be number one.
And this took place at 2006 Armageddon, which was the description of his face afterward. Paul London and Brian Kendrick defended their titles against M&M, which is Joey Mercury and Johnny Nitro, the Hardy Boys, and the team of William Regal and Dave Taylor, and it was a four-way ladder match. I don't even understand taking the bumps on the ladders when they do that. Like, I don't know. I would like to talk to a wrestler and just, I'm assuming it just fucking hurts.
Right.
And you just deal with it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, it can't be a soft way to land on a ladder. Yeah.
Every time there's a ladder match, and as soon as they'll set up the ladder in the middle of the ring, they'll set a bridge on the other side.
Yep.
As soon as that happens, every time immediately start cringing, because I know what's coming.
Yep.
And guess what? There's no soft way to take a catapulted ladder to the nose and orbital bone.
Good.
Yeah.
And within seconds, it is a bloody mess.
Oh, I believe it.
People have compared it to looking like he had been shot in the face.
Wow.
That was one description. His final injury toll was a broken nose in three different places.
Ooh, well,
which I didn't even know.
Go big or go home.
and a broken orbital bone, 15 stitches to each side of his nose.
Jeez.
And this would actually eventually cost him his job, as he became addicted to pain medication afterwards.
Mm.
And I'm not sure if you know the story about that, but his addiction got so bad that he lost, like, his family, and he was about to lose his house. And CM Punk wrote him a check to pay for his house.
Wow.
Good guy.
And to get him into rehab.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, he's been rehired with the company. He's now what do they call him? A producer?
He's a backstage.
Agent.
Yeah.
They call him, which basically they help produce the matches as they come up.
Right.
So it's good to see that.
And of course, he was in the light there for
J&J
a while.
J&J Security, yep.
And sometimes when you see the security come out to break, you'll still see him out there.
Yep.
I guess we have to post some of these videos.
You're going to have to, yeah.
Like with Joey Mercury, and this one, I'm going to have to, I guess, say we'll put it up there. Just watch at your own risk.
Yeah.
Because if you don't like watching legs break, then don't watch this. This is really bad. Sid Vicious jumped off the second rope and snapped his tibia in half. And I don't mean like a twisted. I'm like, it's dangling there.
Yeah.
It literally snaps and flops around in a completely direction that it's not supposed to flop to. He has the boots on, and you could. It's almost as if you were to snap it right there at the top of the boot, and it's just flopping everywhere.
It's like right underneath the knee.
Yep.
And he fought against doing that second rope jump, but was strongly urged by management.
Of course he was.
And the thinking was that at 7 feet tall, he shouldn't be jumping around the ring. That was his
right.
thought. And he is a big boy. And to this day, we don't know why he did that, other than he was probably coerced into it.
And it's definitely cringeworthy.
Right. And I'm sure the more dangerous the stunt, you know, they get paid.
Yeah, you would hope so.
Right. Yeah.
But I know he's had a 14-inch steel rod has been inserted in his leg, and it's awful to watch. Now, this is an outside the ring incident, and I've seen this, and this is back in the day when wrestlers would protect kayfabe. You got you didn't get what you deserve because no one deserves this.
Right.
But in a wrestler's eyes, you get what you deserve here, and that's, you know, Richard Belzer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was he Officer Munch?
Mm-hmm.
On what show? Is that SUV, SVU, SUV?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Law and Order.
Law and Order. Well, he had a talk show for a bit. And 1985, Hulk Hogan and Mr. T were guests on his show. He challenged Hulk Hogan. He wanted to see how to perform different wrestling moves. And Hogan think it would be fun for television. And especially based on Belzer's negative opinions on pro wrestling prior to having them on. He thought maybe putting him in a chokehold would be a good idea.
Oh, God.
No.
A few seconds later, Belzer completely passed out, and Hulk Hogan let him go. And guess what happens when you're passed out?
You drop like a sack of potatoes.
And you bounce your head off the back of your head off the floor a few times. Dribble like a basketball. God. And then he got back up, blood all over the thing. And then Belzer somehow came up with go to commercial.
Good God.
And Belzer ended up suing the WWF and Hulk Hogan for $5 million. They end up settling out of court for an undisclosed amount. But Belzer went on Howard Stern show, I believe, and said it was $500,000 that he got as a settlement.
Wow.
It's something you would never see today because it's out in the open what wrestling is. But 1985, right. Which is a long time ago.
It is a long time ago.
Yeah, they protected that kayfabe there. Now, this one, we have seen this video over and over and over and over and over again. It was at the 2005 Royal Rumble. This is Vince McMahon showing to the wrestlers, like, the show must go on. And you watch this. In the Royal Rumble itself, Batista and Cena go over the top row, touching the floor at the same time, which was not the planned ending.
Right. That was a botch on Batista's part, wasn't it?
It's hard to tell because Cena really gave him the clothesline. Yeah. So I believe Cena was supposed to win.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure on that. I'm sure someone knows for sure.
Right.
But then in a quick call by Vince McMahon, he decides he's going to go down there and restart the match. Well, as soon as you see him kind of try to pop it in the ring, you can see him hit his thighs right on the ring apron. He tore, and then you see him try to get up. He tore both of his quads at the same time.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And he sat, and then you see him sit down, showing no signs of pain, and demands the match go on. But, yeah, he tore both his quads.
Ugh.
I have torn a fingernail back, and it hurts. As someone who can speak on that level.
Right,
pain,
exactly.
I've gotten a paper cut before.
It's brutal, isn't
real.
It? This next one, of course, is a famous one. If you've ever seen the right side of Mick Foley's head, you'll notice something missing.
Hair. No.
No.
It's his ear.
It's his ear. And this match is actually on video. It's a grainy video, but he gets his head kind of caught. He's wrestling Vader, and Vader clotheslines him, or either tries to throw him out of the ring, and he gets his head caught in the ring ropes, and they were tight. WCW had really tightened the ropes without telling anybody that they had tightened the ropes, and so you see them trying to get him out. Instead of being as loose as where he could pull him out, they couldn't, so he had to force his head out of the ropes, and doing so ripped his ear off.
Wow.
I hear you, Josh.
Poor Mick Foley.
Like, Mick can't, but I hear you.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
Mick Foley, what just a... He's resilient. All falling apart. Like,
yeah.
Man, got no teeth. He's got a missing ear. Like,
he's banged up.
If you could just make a Mick Foley list of, yeah.
Someday, when there is a biopic about him, I'd watch it.
Yeah.
Because that dude's battered and beaten over the years.
Yeah. They would make a good movie, for sure.
Yeah, it would.
Did you know he wrestled on the same high school team as Kevin James?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, ladies, You're not exempt from this list either.
Oh, boy.
And in 2009, during just a random match, nothing on the line, just, you know, they had those matches at, I don't know what you call them, filler matches?
Yeah.
Not to degrade what they do, but...
Right.
There's no rivalry.
Exactly. It's just a match to watch a good old-fashioned wrestling match. And Mickey Jane... Okay, Larry's got to buy a new cable. Donate, people. Mickey James joined a very exclusive list of people who suffered a particular injury that is something that only women will have to deal with.
Oh, no.
After running into a turnbuckle a little harder than she probably would have wanted to, one of her breast implants ruptured. Now, I believe, from what I'm told, the breast is a very tender area.
A little bit, yeah.
So, implants or not,
that's going to hurt no matter how, no matter what you got in there.
And it's impossible for a man to really grasp how painful that has to be. And yes, it's something that hurt, but it's something that is so out there to happen.
Is it like a squirt gun?
I don't believe it comes out. I think it stays in. Josh, it's not like a sprinkler.
God, no. That's not how they work.
Do you know how breasts work, Josh?
No. Trust me.
See, he has a couple kids, so I want to lean to that.
Right.
Does? No, okay, thank you. Okay. Well, now
well, we if it had ripped, like, the skin and, never mind.
A lot of tissue to go through before you finally get to the...
No, I believe it was it Eva on Total Divas?
Eva Marie.
She had a ruptured... breast implant as well that they had to remove.
And I was about to say, that sounds like something you'd like need, like you don't make an appointment 2 weeks to have that thing removed. You better get it out of your body
now. Well, because the saline or whatever is in them is in like the large doses, and of course like the location that it is is very, very dangerous.
I say they start filling it with marshmallow fluff.
Hey, that'd be great. Sure, why not?
Now this one I almost brought up during the Mick Foley one because it involved Vader, but I knew I didn't want to give away the lead. And this is on grainy video as well, and it is fucking hard to watch. Now Vader's a big man. 6'5", 450, agile as hell.
Another guy that's surprising he's alive, but that from what I understand,
he's not doing so well these days. I believe he has like leukemia or something.
They say he has like 1 year to live or 2 years to live.
Another former football player, big athlete. Toughest man to go against what was considered another toughest man in wrestling of all time, and that was Stan the Lariat Hansen, who gained popularity in Japan for being really stiff. And it's not just because he was a stiff wrestler. It's also because he was blind as a bat and refused to wear contacts in the ring. So he couldn't tell how far away people were and he would just unload on people. And both men were going to take it easy during that match because, well, neither one of them wanted to be hit by the other. And unfortunately, Vader had suffered a broken nose earlier in the match because Hansen would come out with a bull rope with a cowbell at the end of it, but not having that depth perception.
Oh, God.
Was swinging around the ring because that's how he would enter and smashed him right in the nose, blowing up his nose.
Oh, God.
Now, during the match itself, remember, that was pre-match. He got his nose broken. So now, during the match itself, Hansen was trying to throw a punch, and I don't know how he just didn't have his hand balled upright or whatever, but he had a finger that went right into Vader's eye.
No.
Oh, man.
Video, you can see it.
Dangling?
Brushing his cheek, dangling there.
Oh, my God.
Now.
Dude, he was Glenn from The Walking Dead.
Right? He had the mask. Vader has that mask on. So. And he's not going to stop the match because that's how tough.
Oh, my God.
Or as my wife says, dumb.
Right? That, too.
We're going to go dumb on this.
But if you're going to be dumb, you better be tough.
Right.
He stuck the eyeball back in eventually.
What?
On his own. He pushed his eyeball back and held it into place. At this point, his eyelid had swollen, so he couldn't quite get it all the way in, so he kind of held it in the rest of the match.
So I wonder when that happens, if your eye pops out, does like that eye, does it like basically staring at the floor the whole time?
Yes. Fun fact. I learned this when I took first aid when I was in college. If that were to happen like to any of us, right?
No.
What they suggest that you do in first, like as a first responder,
put it in milk.
No.
Or is that only teeth?
That's only teeth. Within the first hour.
Right. No, because it can actually cause, it can send you into shock to have one eyeball looking down and one eyeball.
Oh yeah,
forward.
I would imagine.
It trips your brain out that happen.
Oh.
So what they taught us in school was if that happens, you're supposed to take like a paper cup and put the eyeball in a cup and like tape the cup to your face.
Oh, that's
so that at least one eye can't see anything and the other one is looking forward.
Or you could just hold your
or that works
too. Just stare at the floor.
Yeah.
Don't mind me walking around just running into shit.
Yeah, yeah, right?
I'm the Dixie Cup Pirate. Yeah, he finished the match and eventually had to have a metal plate installed into
his
eye to keep, because, I mean, I guess once it pops out, probably could do it again.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, yeah, broken nose and a popped out eye. That's hopefully a hell of a paycheck.
And guess what? That was number two.
Ooh.
God, I can only think of, like, and that's pretty bad. They're getting worse, so it's definitely not the Seth Rollins incident.
The blown out knee?
No. Yeah. This, I don't know how to. Should I just dive into the story, or should I give you the clue? Or
just dive into
guess?
It. I just need to know.
Give a clue. I'm curious.
Bronco Buster.
Oh. No,
honestly, that
sure.
just makes me think of Arby's, and they're like Bronco Berry sauce. So
oh, yeah. That's good, too.
Wrong direction for me, but.
Okay, well, let's do the story.
During an independent match on a Jerry Lynn tribute show, X-Pac went to go to do the Bronco Buster move, but his opponent moved out of the way. X-Pac slammed into the turnbuckle. Seen him 100 times, right? Mm-hmm. Pac, though, he finished the match thinking there was nothing wrong, and neither did anybody else. He tore his anus in half. Well, I don't think you tear it in half, but he tore his anus open.
How does that? How? What the? Oh, God.
And he was bleeding like crazy from the open wound.
Oh, my God.
So when he went to take off his singlet, like, it had pooled in the singlet. So when he went to take it out, it was like, it splatted onto
him. Oh, my God.
He then got in an ambulance and was transported directly to the hospital, where he would require an emergency sphincterplasty, which is a new word I learned today.
Oh, no.
X-Pac wasn't going to tell anybody, but his girlfriend posted it all over social media.
Of course.
Saying that this wasn't the first time something like this had happened to him.
What?
Oh.
Because, the questions arise, but X-Pac doesn't really, I mean, right. I have heard him tell this story, but I have not heard about the other stories.
Man, I always thought he was a hard ass,
now,
too.
Now, here's the, Josh, no. Here's the thing. Everybody has to poop.
Yeah.
So, like, I have so many questions now.
I know.
Do you go with a
colostomy bag?
That's my guess, because that area's got to heal.
And, okay.
You got to keep it clean.
Yeah, for real. It would have to be.
Man.
Would a fart hurt?
Oh, God.
No, I think it'd just be like. Just come out like that. There's no. Yeah.
Right? Oh, my God.
That, to me, that's definitely the strangest injury I've heard.
Yeah.
I mean, there's brutal. There's, of course, there's more brutal injuries, but not butt.
But, oh, a torn butthole.
I don't know. I still think Vader's injury is worse.
Yeah. An eye popped out like that.
For me, it's always been the Sid injury. His legs snap.
Flop around,
yeah.
Like, oh, God.
I guess the best to compare it would be Gordon Hayward of the Boston Celtics earlier this year. Like, in the first game of the NBA, his first game of the season. You may have seen it just because it's such a gruesome injury. He lands on his ankle and snaps it like that.
Ugh.
And it's just dangling there the wrong direction.
What was that, the football game? The football video that you showed
me? Chicago. The Chicago Bear bent his knee the wrong way? Oh!
Yeah, it goes forward.
Yeah.
Not only that, they had to do emergency surgery just to save the leg.
Yeah.
He may, I think we would have seen something right now, but yeah. Like, he could have lost his leg in that. That's bad. Mm. So, like Josh is saying, a broken leg is never, ever a...
It's always painful to watch. Yeah, anytime you see a limb move in the wrong way.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
So, Larry, what is your worst injury?
My worst injury? I would have to say my worst, I guess, I had gout in my knee.
Mm.
And I've showed you guys the pictures on
bed. Yeah. Guess,
to the point where I couldn't put on pants.
Oh, my God.
Like, underwear was a struggle.
That's just a sweet reason to sit around in your underwear,
it
though.
It was, but, I mean, like, sitting was hard to do.
Yeah.
To go to my doctor's appointment, we'd have to put down the back seat because I had to lay because I couldn't bend my leg.
Did you just wear a skirt there, or?
We got basketball shorts on, so we had bought like a double extra.
I thought
large.
Maybe you just like put a kilt on, or
I totally do the kilt thing.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
It sounds comfortable in the summer.
Yeah.
What about you, April?
Well, I think like externally speaking, like accidental injuries, or like because I've had surgeries and whatnot, but that was all internal.
Mm-hmm.
I think accidental external injury probably, and this is gonna sound. Like, oh, that's not a bad injury at all, but it hurt like shit. I was, to make a very long story short, I was moving something really heavy out of the back end of a semi truck, and it was on wheels. And the thing that I was moving weighed probably 600 or 700 pounds.
Oh my!
And the person at the other end of it, we were trying to back it down the ramp of the semi, and she wasn't paying attention and swung it to the side, and I was holding on to the side of the semi. And this big 700-pound object annihilated my thumb.
That sounds very painful.
It was very painful.
That doesn't sound like...
No. Well, because usually when people are like, oh, I broke my finger. Like, but it, I didn't just break my finger. I went in to... And it happened at like 7 o'clock in the morning. And I continued to work a 12-hour day with my thumb as it was.
Oh.
And I had a blood blister that covered the entire... fingernail. Like, it was huge. So I went in, and that was on a Saturday. So I went in Monday because I'm like, man, my thumb really hurts. And they did an x-ray, and it had powdered the tip of my thumb. Like, even now, I don't have bone there. It just like it regrew a little bit, but it's just
a nubbin.
It's just I have a little thumb nubbin. But yeah, it was really
thumb and nubbin. Happened so fast.
And of course it was my right hand, so I had this
sort of dad jokes,
right? So I had like a splint on my thumb, so I had to write with my thumb sticking up in the air like that.
Yeah, right, like a three-year-old.
I was just like, yeah.
Me, April, Neanderthal, like,
perma thumbs up everywhere I went. I was just the, hey, yeah. Exactly. Josh has a lot of good ones.
Let's see.
Are you clumsy? Do you hurt yourself a lot?
I think one of the best ones I can think of off the top of
avoided
my brain
the question.
Is sometimes when I broke my arm.
Oh, that's
because
I've never broken a bone, so
it's not pleasant.
My,
I assume not.
I was in middle school, early high school. I can't really remember, and I had some friends over, and we were playing. I think football. Doing touch football.
Mm-hmm. Never ends that
and
way.
My buddy threw a touchdown pass to me, and my dad was running, and he was gonna get me, and I'm a little bit of a showboat sometimes.
I can see that.
Yeah,
he came up and he kind of like ran right into me and hit me in the, like, because I was kind of like turned, I don't know how this happened, but like I turned around and he hit me in the chest, and I flew back, and I threw my arms back, and I hit my left arm first, and it snapped.
The forearm?
Yeah, right on the forearm. Well, I didn't think anything of it. So what happened was, because it hurt, but I ended up going to my buddy's house that night, and my brother and I and our buddies, we decided to sleep in the tent, and we're roughhousing and stuff.
Boys.
And I mean, you're sleeping on the ground, and the way I sleep is like I kind of sleep on my stomach. My hands are like beneath my head, like holding a pillow. Well, I woke up the next day and my arm was huge.
Ugh.
And
it was huge.
It's so huge. And it hurt like hell. So I went home and they took me in, and it wasn't even just like a crack or anything. It was a clean snap.
your dad had to feel so bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he felt pretty bad about
that. Wasn't that the time, too, that you went in and they were like, how did this happen? You were like, my dad did it. My dad did it.
Yeah.
Someone get CPS on the phone.
Back then, it wasn't. That wasn't so much a thing. Nowadays, hell yeah, if that were to happen, be like, oh, no, we're taking your kids away.
Yeah.
So
now, and wasn't it right after you got your cast off
the day,
for that?
Yeah, the day I got my cast taken off. The day of.
Same arm?
I was riding my bike down the street because our neighbors, they were an older couple. They had a really big trampoline, and their grandsons would come over, and we were cool with them. Well, I was riding down. It was like a hill to go down to their house, and I like threw my arms up in the air like, hey, look at me, I'm no arms, and I've hey, there's no too. cast, and I hit a rock or something and lost control and fell down on that arm again, and it didn't re-break, but it was very painful, and I had to put my arm back in a splint for a couple weeks, and we'll see if it can pick up on the mic here. Ever since then, my arm does this.
Yep, that picked up.
Yep, oof. Yep.
Yeah, if I just hold it at the wrist and I just move my arm to the left or right.
Shouldn't do
that. Well, yeah. Carpal tunnel.
That's nature's way of saying don't do that.
Yeah, so.
Gosh, I'm speaking of bike, I know the show's going a little long, but whatever. This is interesting stuff. Yeah, I was riding a bike down a hill real fast on the sidewalk, which I know you're probably not supposed to do.
Oh, well.
Eh. And a car pulled out in the intersection, and I had no time to stop, and I hit that car with the bike. Thankfully, I went over the hood.
Oh, geez.
And not into the car.
Right?
I scared the shit out of those two people. They thought they killed a kid. And I kind of thought I was fine, but definitely wasn't.
Good Lord.
And I've done the same hill I was driving down, like you said, no hands, showing off in front of my brother, and yep, right over the front of the handlebars, and I had scrapes all the way from my wrist up to my elbows.
Oh, yeah.
Just scraped up, thankfully.
Yep. Well, that, my, not to make this, like you were just saying, this is going kind of long, but this is a good one that I kind of forgot about until you mentioned that. When I was in London, I spent some time there. Josh knows this story. It's a good one. So the house that I was living in had a really odd floor plan, and it was really steep stairs to go up to the second level. Mm-hmm. And then there was a little landing, and either you could go on that landing, you could go straight down the hallway to the bathroom, or you could turn around the corner and go up maybe three or four more steps to like where the bedrooms were.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the middle of the night, and I came out of my room and I went down the hallway to the bathroom, and I came out of the bathroom, and because it was late and dark and I was like half asleep, I went to put my foot up on the stair to go back up into my room.
Yeah.
Except for I put my foot up and there were no stairs there because I was going down the staircase down. So I fell like all the way down an entire flight of stairs. It's better, though, because it's in England. Everyone rides a bike, right? The staircase ended right in, like, the foyer, and everyone kept their bikes there. So not only did I fall down an entire flight of stairs, I crashed like a bowling ball into, I think it was like four bikes.
Of course,
and
no one heard that.
I bent a couple of tires. Oh, yeah, of course not. So all the rest of the people that were living there were poking their heads out like, what is going on? And I'm laying at the bottom of the stairs all crumpled up. I'm fine, guys. It's fine. And I had bruises like as big as my face on my legs, and like I broke my glasses because of course.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, it was brutal. I was hurting pretty bad after that. And the whole time, like, I don't know if you've ever fallen down a flight of stairs before.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But it was like slow motion. And as you're rolling down the stairs, you're like, well, this isn't going to end well.
Nope, never does.
Yeah,
good Lord.
Lots of slipping on ice stuff, but thankfully I've never broken a thing.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know where else to go.
On that very painful note.
Let's just plug.
Let's plug, because that's something, like, that...
Something that happened to Xbox Ian is probably to keep it clean.
Well, I can't even come up with a bad pun for that. But anyways...
Thank you.
I... I do a video game podcast called Stiff Joystick Podcast. You can find,
which I've seen you playing that.
Wow. Okay, Ryan.
All right. So I see you've been playing the WWE.
Yes, I've been on there playing in the universe mode. My character's name is Frankie Kitty Whiskers. Frankie Kitty Whiskers.
Yep.
He looks like an 80s butt rocker.
Okay.
His the back of his pants say butt love.
In neon.
In neon, yep.
Thank you, Xbox.
The 2K18, it's pretty cool. I love when glitches happen because they're so random. Like, I had a guy who was started to climb a ladder and it was knocked over, and then he continued to climb.
Even though there's no ladder?
There's no ladder. Then all of a sudden he was standing on like an invisible table and just staring down at everybody. And they're like, what the hell? We can't even like do anything to like pull him down. So what I did was I go in the corner, got up on the turnbuckle, and I targeted him, and I went to jump. And I did this weird floaty thing up.
Okay.
And I hit him, and then he, like a gunshot, flew off, like, way off to the side, like, on the floor. Yeah, it was...
Very nice.
It's funny when it happens. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, I've been playing that, and I've been broadcasting that on Twitch.
Sweet.
So
give your Twitch cool. handle.
Yeah, that's under my name, Bobo May. Yeah, and I've been streaming on also YouTube, so everything's been saved. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's you and Brian on that, right?
Yep, Brian and I both do that show, and that's every Friday on Facebook, Twitter, and Podbean.
Sure, it was every Tuesday.
Or Tuesday. Yeah, this is the Friday show.
This is every Friday, I know. It's confusing.
I get potty slam brain right now.
Right.
So, April... You have a fun new show.
I do. We just released the second episode.
Fantastic episode, by the way.
Oh, I know. It was wonderful. If you'd like to check it out, of course, it's called Women with Wine. And it's more of a podcast for the ladies because, you know, I'm always surrounded by
these. The world needs more of that.
Exactly. And I'm always surrounded by you guys, which I love, of course, but
holy cow, how much can you take?
I know.
I mean, your life is nothing but boys.
More estrogen, less truth. Testosterone.
Yes. So yeah, come check us out. We are on Facebook and Podbean. It's a really fun podcast. We talk about all kinds of women's subjects. We drink wine, we rate it, we get silly. It's wonderful.
Sweet.
It's definitely a show for the ladies, but guys, you can listen to it as well.
Yes.
It's funny.
Yes, it's like those magazines, National Enquirer and Star. My mom would buy them, but I would sneak
exactly.
them off.
Exactly. I like to think we're kind of like the comic strip Kaffee.
Okay.
Like that's... we're like the literal embodiment of Kaffee.
Okay. And if you like Kathy, check us out. And you can catch the Conspiracy Therapy Podcast with Ryan and Josh and April and I, and that's on Podomatic. And check that on Twitter and Facebook.
And of course, right now you're listening to the Potty Slam Podcast, which... You can find it on Facebook, Twitter, and Podomatic. It's the stories from the locker room and beyond. And if you could, go on iTunes, like, and subscribe, and leave us a great comment. That is always awesome to see. Larry, right now you are on an off season, but where else can we find you?
EFISpodcast.net for all the past seasons. Past seasons, we're just ended season 3 of the EFIS. So season 4 comes back on Valentine's Day. I know Marty promised some sort of Valentine's related baseball story, ooh. So I'm interested.
You guys gonna have like candlelight,
bubble bath. We're gonna do it live from a bubble bath.
Perfect.
Something about baseball, Valentine's, and lovey dovey, and baseball bats. I don't know if
it's gonna be a lot of ball play.
Might need to get a hold of X-Pac for how to handle that split sphincter.
All that Beer City Media go on. Twitter or Facebook, Beer City Media, just subscribe to one of those and you'll just get the feed of the podcast as they come out.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening to Potty Slam this week, and we'll see you next week with a new episode. Everybody hurts enough.
This has been a presentation of Beer City Media.